baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Well, good morning, sir. How you doing? You like this? Look at this nice big blank wall behind me here. Isn't that nice?
It's great. You're like John Oliver during the pandemic season of Last Week Tonight. I don't know if you watch HBO or not.
I do. That's right. Just okay. In the void over here.
In the white void. So, yeah, there you go. It's the white void for Scott today. Before we get into this, I have to just tell you, yesterday's baseball game, midweek, midday game.
Yes. Our wheelhouse, if you will.
Right in our wheelhouse, yeah. I don't know why. I thought it was a 4-game series against the Red Sox.
Was
that the fourth game yesterday?
Yes.
I was thinking it was 3 of 4. I don't know where I lost a day in there somewhere. But anyways, you and Joel were texting with me in this like group chat at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Talking about how good such and such is hitting, or man, such and such pitcher sure having a good year, or Manoah's really off to a great start this season, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And I'm in there with you guys like, yeah, Pete Walker's doing his magic. Yeah, this guy, hope he stays healthy, blah, blah, blah. Just thought we were having like, looking forward to the game today kind of chat. And then at like 4 o'clock, I'm like, well, I'm going to turn on Sportsnet and get ready for some pregame while I'm doing the dishes.
Yeah.
And it was in the 7th inning.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And my wife made fun of me. My wife was like, how were you texting with Scott about the Blue Jays and you didn't realize that he was watching the game as he's talking to you about it? So yeah, I don't know. I might have to retire from podcasting after that, because that's pretty embarrassing. So,
well, that's a bummer, because I know I get asked all the time. People constantly on Twitter too are like, oh, these afternoon ball games, who are these for? Well, the answer to mid-afternoon ball games is comics.
Comics, yes.
Who are working day jobs.
That
yeah,
should absolutely be us. But I was still, even after the fact, I was thinking that was game 3 of 4. And I was like, this is so dumb that they did a midday. Like, I understand it at the end of the series when it's like, we got to catch the flight to Houston tomorrow, so let's wrap this up. I get that. But I was like, why are they doing it on game 3? This is so absurd. So I was like annoyed all day long until this morning when I logged in and realized it was... we're in Houston tomorrow. And
you missed
sense.
A full day. Yeah.
Missed a full day. Set it right on fire. I think that was the day of the live stream we were supposed to do. And
yeah,
I had family crisis.
I know we had actually, you know what? I did want to bring that up actually before we get going here, because I was a little overwhelmed by like all the really thoughtful and concerned messages that we got over the last like few days.
Nice.
So, for everyone out there who was wondering what was going on, both Adam and I are fine. Everything is fine. I'll be very honest with you. Tuesday, a week ago, so like almost 10 days ago now, we were going to do our live stream. Adam had stuff to do with his daughter, some hockey stuff to take her to. So I was going to do the live stream on my own. And then my favorite uncle, or one of them anyways, big Blue Jays fan. We've always connected over baseball. My mom's brother passed away suddenly, and I was just like, you know, well, not doing this. Not going to try and tough through this.
No kidding.
And then last Tuesday, you had like, you know, a family thing go on as well.
Well,
but man,
if you're going to just open up that I have to at this point, you don't just get to be like, well, I'm just going to tell you what happened in my life, and then Adam gets to be all like,
Adam's going to be secretive.
So, okay, well, here's what happened in mine. My ex-wife's father had an emergency triple bypass heart surgery scheduled and was in the hospital in town here. And his daughter, my ex-wife, the mother of my child, is in Mexico, as it just so happens to be. So I was just in the middle of, like, you know, take my kid to go see her grandpa in the hospital. And it was... I mean, not, you know, just doing the right thing as a good
exactly.
dad should, right? Like, he's, you know?
So basically what we're saying here, everybody, is life stuff happens to everyone, but we appreciated everyone kind of checking in and also like just dealing with the fact that we missed two live streams in a row. I think we may have missed like two or three all year last year. So apologies, but we are back to it this Tuesday. So
yes,
thanks
exactly.
for sticking with us, everybody.
Yes.
And well, honestly, it was cool to get messages from so many people being like, I hope you guys are all right. But yeah, we are. And go. Thank you.
Very good. Well, now that we're 5 minutes into a Blue Jays podcast, haven't discussed them once.
And haven't talked.
And we've yes. weeded out all of the newcomers to our channel. I'm sure they're yes. all long gone by now. All the regulars just know to skip ahead 5 minutes. They know by now. Just skip 6 minutes in and catch the mid-sentence on Danny Jansen. So
exactly. We will get into it. This. Obviously, you can follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. You can join the Discord. That's always free. It's always a happening place to be when it comes to baseball chat. So you can do that by clicking the link in the show notes. We'll get into it. Big show today.
Scott, before we get into it, we do got a shout out Patreon.
Yes.
We're up to seven people on Patreon, which still blows yes. my mind. So big thanks to John, Simon, Rashid, Joel, Joshua, Jeremy, and Ian for supporting us on Patreon. Reminder, we do have our pre-show recordings go up on Patreon as well at this mm-hmm. point. So if you want to hear Scott and I bullshit for 15 minutes before we went live today.
To bullshit for 5 minutes.
just to get our bullshit condensed into 5 minutes. You know, it's just, that's comedy, right? You got to get that tight five. So we got a tight five of bullshit yeah. for you on the show. We got our open mic 15 at Patreon access back there. So, all right, that's enough for Patreon. Thank you, guys.
Okay, so the Jays win another series. We'll talk them beating the Red Sox 3 games out of 4. And we'll get into some of the drama that happened behind the scenes. Houston comes to town as the Jays continue their homestand. We'll talk the pitching matchups there. Bad tacos. There have been a few going around. So we will update everybody on what's happening on the injury list. Some guys have gone on to it. Some look like they're coming off of it. Samad Taylor, friend of the show, and he might not be the prospect that every Jays fan is excited about, but dear Lord, he is lighting it up
big time
in AAA Buffalo. So we will talk Samad Taylor. Offense around Major League Baseball has been on the decline, especially since last year, and there are some reasons for it. I know that our friend of the show and our Cal Ripken Jr. for long toss, because he's the Iron Man, Joel. Yeah. Hey, Commie, had some theories as to why that is, so we'll talk some of that. New York Yankees fans continue to be just the most annoying people on the planet. We'll touch on that briefly, and then we will end talking stats on Miguel Cabrera. Just some eye-popping stuff on the man, and I think that's kind of a fun way to wrap this episode up, so we'll get right into it here. Boston. So we have played the Red Sox, my dude, 7 times in the last 10 games, and they are 5-2 against this Red Sox team.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. I mean, the truth is, if you were to ask both of us beforehand what we want to see, we would have said 4-3. Go 4-3 against the Red Sox in those 7 games. The fact that they dominated them was incredibly fun to see, and they didn't do it in a pretty way. It's not like we can look back on these series against the Red Sox and go, what great baseball, just riveting stuff. The offense was off the chart, but they continued to find ways to win, man. One run games, they have done very well this year.
Yeah.
It's probably the biggest difference from 2021 is that they are winning all of these one-run games.
I mean, let's talk pitching for 1 second here, because I just got mm-hmm. the pitching, the MLB stats leaders here.
Mm-hmm.
So hilariously now, 3 weeks into the season, the MLB leader in wins still is Adam Simber,
mm-hmm.
Who just by chance, a reliever, it just always works out that way, it seems. The only other pitcher with four wins, can you name him? Can you guess? In the entire MLB, the only other pitcher with four wins. I'll give you a hint. It is a starter.
You're going to have to just tell me.
It's Alek Manoah.
Really?
4-0 right now. Here's the stat line for Alek Manoah. 25 innings pitched, right? He's gone 6, 6, 6, and 7. So just as steady as it gets. 1.44 ERA. 26 Ks versus 7 walks. He's got a whip of 0.92 and an opposing batting average of 1.79.
I mean, we could talk Alek Manoah every single time we turn the mic on. The guy has been a godsend to this team. That's the truth. Since they have called him up last season, he has been nothing but a contributing member to this team. And man, did he ever dominate yesterday. Honestly, yesterday's game was the best I have seen him all season long. Mm-hmm. He was crisp with his fastball. That four-seamer, dude, it was touching 95, 96 every single pitch.
Hey, man, I know. I was getting the updates from you and Joel, not even realizing he was pitching. You're just like, yeah, his fastball's sure getting better. Anyways,
No, it's true, though. Like, man, the way he was using his four-seam fastball to play up his slider and his newly found changeup, it was so impressive to watch. And he's such a bulldog, right? Like, he just goes after hitters, and you just love to see that kind of confidence in a kid that's about to turn 24. Like, it just...
Look, he is, and I don't mean to, like, be Homer with my hot take here, but he is on, like, Cy Young consideration pace right now.
He is.
Like, I know it's a small sample size, but it's not that small anymore. And given that how like impressive he was all of last year, I don't think there's any reason to think that through the four games we've seen that this is like smoke and mirrors. Like Adam Simber with four wins as a reliever, of course, like that's
a little bit of luck.
That's a little bit of an anomaly, right? Sure. You get some odd luck and game timing to have that happen, but like for Manoah to just be as rock steady as he's been through the first 3 weeks, like this is a...
Even if it's not this year, Alek Manoah will win a Cy Young in his career.
Interesting. Okay. I like it. I don't know that he'll win it this year either, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets votes. I legitimately think
friend of the show, Craig Ballard, was very, very vocal about that from the get-go at spring training. He was like, Alek Manoah is going to get Cy Young Award votes this season. You guys just wait and see. And I mean, it's tough to argue with him as we approach May here. I know yesterday was such a big game for him as well because the Jays needed him to step up. I know collectively the Jays fan base took a big, you know, a real oh no, when Vladdy fouled that ball off his back foot there. And you know, the foot has so many small little bones and you're just like, oh my God, if this is how we lose Vladdy, if this is the bad taco that just sets him back, like, oh, like, and of course, knock on all the wood and all the blank walls we can find here. But it looks like he's all right. It looked like a precautionary move yesterday to keep him out of the lineup. But without Vladdy in that lineup and without Teoscar, all of a sudden runs become a premium. And so they managed to scrounge together one, and then Alek Manoah shut the door, man. 7 innings, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, and
yeah, dominant. I mean, it was absolute best-case scenario. I mean, this is like old-school baseball, where your starter goes 7, and then you hand it off to Adam Simber for the hold. And then you hand it off to your closer, and
in
Romano
comes the Markham
madman, the ninth save of the season for him. So he's not leading the majors anymore. Josh Hader is ahead of him with 10 saves. But
however, he does lead the American League, and by 5. The next closest in the American League is Aroldis Chapman with 4 saves. So Romano is running away with it in the American League, and even in baseball. Like other than Josh Hader, the most dominant reliever in major leagues right now. Jordan Romano leads baseball in saves. So very, very impressive stuff from him.
Hey, we got to check in on this race. Jordan Romano saves, Vladdy home runs.
9-5.
Yeah, it's running away with it at this point.
Yeah, he's got a nice cushy lead right now, that is for sure.
I mean, Vladdy could tie it up with one game, but...
So, before we get into the Houston series, I did have a few things I wanted to touch on. Number one, I did wish to talk the game on Wednesday. That was the one loss the Blue Jays had. It was really the first time this year, too, that we saw the pen get had, right? Yeah. Like, the bullpen was touched up.
Was that the Yimmy Garcia meltdown?
Nope. The Yimmy Garcia meltdown, the Jays actually wound up winning that one. But coming back and winning in the 10th. However, Wednesday was the game where the bullpen blew up a little bit and they lost pretty heavily. But Ross Stripling pitched beautifully. And I did want to, you know, shine a little light on Ross Stripling, give a little tip of the hat, because he is a piece of this team that, in my opinion, separates the Blue Jays from some of these middling teams, for example, like the Detroit Tigers or like the Minnesota Twins, who, if everything goes right for these teams, could very well be a contender for a wild card spot. However, one thing that these teams don't have, the Blue Jays do have, is that if a member of their rotation goes down, they have nobody who's going to step in as admirably as Ross Stripling has done for the Blue Jays. I mean, the truth is Ross Stripling is a number four, a number three pitcher on 10 teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, number three pitcher is pushing it, but number four... Yeah, but I guess if the number's only 10, there are 10 really bad teams. He's probably the ace on Oakland. no, I'm just kidding. I know Oakland has, what's his face there? Montas.
Frankie Montas, yeah.
But yeah.
Anyways, we will move on here, but I did just want everyone on in Blue Jays land to kind of appreciate what a under-the-radar gem we have in Ross Stripling, who has managed to contribute heavily as a starter already, and he was supposed to be the long man out of the pen. So it's nice to have that sort of backup, that sort of depth. I did want to bring up Charlie Montoyo as well. Old passive aggressive Charlie back in full form here. And I know lots of you probably remember the panic that Blue Jays fandom was in at times last year, especially in May, while the bullpen felt like it was literally on fire and ready to sink the Blue Jays ship. We were all in it, right? We were all, oh my God, Chatwood and Dolis, and just pulling our hair out. And while this was happening, right before Shapiro and Atkins go out and get Trevor Richards and Adam Simber and bolster the pen, people were putting a lot of heat on Charlie with the way he was managing the bullpen. And then a lot of you will remember the pregame, he came out and he had that t-shirt that he had made up. And it just said, "This is fine. Everything is fine. It's fine." Which is a little bit of a clap back to the fans, right? He was just like, "Settle down, everybody." So a very passive aggressive move, which is what Charlie does best. He's not an aggressive, aggressive guy. He's very passive in his aggressiveness, and he was at it again yesterday. So, of course, a lot of us all remember last year when old Butterfingers Kirk dropped his little cheat sheet, right? Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Kiermaier picks it up, takes it to the Rays dugout. Kevin Cash then refuses to give this card back, and anger ensues on both sides and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, fast forward to yesterday's game between the 8th and the 9th. Old Slippery Fingers Kirk just can't keep his hand on stuff. He drops his PitchCom speaker, which Alex Cora then sees and picks up and takes to the Blue Jays dugout. So then after the game, Montoyo comes out in his press conference, and he's just raving about what a class move this is by Alex Cora, which, as we're all aware, Alex Cora, known for his classy behavior. You would never see Alex Cora cheat in a million years, right? He would never take that opportunity.
Easy on the sarcasm.
But that's what I loved. That's what I loved about this, right? Is that this was not Charlie Montoyo taking time out of this press conference to tip his hat at Boston as a classy organization and a classy manager. This was literally him being like, hey, up yours, Kevin Cash. Like, and
yeah,
I just got to
definitely
out
shots fired at Tampa. But I mean, also just a little distinguishment between the two, like to have the strategy card. Once you have that in your dugout, there's nothing the Blue Jays can do to undo that knowledge, right? Like, yes. Even if they come storming over and they're like, hey, give that back. Well, okay, sure.
Which
but now
they did.
We've all seen, right? So, yeah. Like, we still know what your plans are. So, Make up a new game plan if you want, but good luck. Whereas the pitch comm, like the speaker, so that's when he types it into the keyboard, that's when it's like fastball up and in, right? And the pitcher hears it and everybody hears it. So, by having that, they could have heard all the pitches. But, like, he had to turn it back in because that's the sort of thing where...
Yeah.
Even if he holds on to it and they're just like, well, we have it now. We're going to hear all your calls. The Blue Jays just go, that's fine. We're going to do hand signals then. Like, fuck you. So, like, there's no way to actually take advantage of that speaker.
100%. This was a nothing thing that happened that Charlie Montoyo took and made.
Yes.
You know,
an opportunity to take shots at Kevin Cash and the Tampa Bay Rays. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know what, man? Like, that was one thing about chatting with Danny Jansen. Is when you brought up to him, hey, how important is that card? Like, what's on there?
Yeah.
And his answer was literally,
it was devastating.
It's on there. Yeah. He's like, it's the worst that they knew that. Exactly. Yeah. So, good to see Charlie not forgiving or forgetting.
Charlie 2.0. Love to see it.
Absolutely. So, Houston comes to town here as the Blue Jays continue their home stand. The pitching lines up as Kikuchi starting tonight, and then we've got our two big studs on the mound to close out the series, and Berríos and Gausman, both of whom looked incredibly good the last times that they hit the mound. How are you feeling about this series with Houston coming to town?
Well, Houston is a middling team. They're 10-9. I think they're better than their record indicates.
Agreed.
Yeah, like we got to get at least 2 or 3 here. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just we got to keep this going. We got the Yankees up next.
Series.
So, yeah, I mean, let's build a little bit of a cushion because we have to. Like, it's just, let's just keep going. I don't know. I know that's not a very eloquent analysis there, but like.
No, but you're right, though. Especially while the Yankees continue to get to play teams like Cleveland and Baltimore and Kansas City, right? So while we're winning against teams like the Red Sox and the Astros, they are getting a much softer schedule. So it is important here to at least stay within striking distance of them until our schedule softens a little bit.
One thing that we need to, and I am a little bit worried about this, but this Blue Jays team, once we do get to the Baltimore Orioles of our schedule, once we do get to the Detroit Tigers and the back to the Texas Rangers, we better not take our foot off the gas.
Agreed.
Like, that's when we can't be splitting series. That's when we can't be going 2-2 against the Tigers. We can't be going, you know, 2-1 against Baltimore. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We've gotta stick it to them.
One thing I will say is that reinforcements are on the way. Teoscar Hernandez getting very, very close to coming back and joining this team. Could be as soon as this weekend. I mean, he is sprinting. He's doing running the bases. He's been in the cage for over a week taking swings. And from what all accounts are saying, he is on the verge of returning to this team, and that is a massive boon for the Toronto Blue Jays, who have really missed that big bat in the middle of the order. It just protects, you know, it just protects Bo and Chapman so well, having him in that four-hole.
Yeah.
Nothing against Zach Collins, who has performed admirably. Nothing against some of the other guys who they have had to step up here, and you know, but we don't need to see Raimel Tapia in the five hole. You know, okay. Like I'm fine.
Here's the thing. Here's my analysis on Zach Collins in the four hole, because he has been hitting well. He has shown power, but
yeah,
we saw it in the extra innings game there where Bo started on second and Vladdy just got the walk. Like that, I don't think that maybe it still does, but it's a lot tougher decision when Teoscar is up next.
Much tougher decision, and that's a great example of what we're talking about.
And the thing with Collins, like I said, he does have the power, but if he gets his pitch, he has the power. Whereas a guy like Vladdy or a guy like Teoscar, I feel like has the power even if the pitcher throws the proper pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like we've seen Vladdy turn on some absolute wild pitches in on his hands and take a yard. You know, the Teoscar, I think not quite the power as Vladdy, but that's still not an insult by any stretch.
No,
I think Teoscar demands respect
instead of 40 to 50 home run power. I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, like he demands respect. Whereas Zach Collins is like, yeah, I mean, if I make a mistake, he might take me yard. But all I have to do is pitch my game and I'm not worried about Zach Collins taking me yard. Right.
Yeah.
But Teoscar Hernandez, I do feel like there is a consideration of like, even if I throw my best, he can still make me pay for it. So it's going to be exciting to have Teoscar back for sure.
One thing about Teoscar that has been really lucky about this timing of his injury, I guess you could say, is that the Blue Jays have been hot and they have been winning and there hasn't been that pressure for him to rush himself to get back off the IL. You know, like he would definitely be feeling it a little bit more if this team was losing constantly and he was just like, man, I got to get back. So it is nice that it has kind of given this little bit of leeway for him to truly make sure that he feels his best, because an oblique injury, right? It's an injury that's easily aggravated, can return, and it's best to just be 100% before rushing it back. So that is good. I know that Danny Jansen also still dealing with his oblique injury. He's a little bit further behind Teoscar. He has started to take some swings in the cage. He's not running full speed or anything like that, and he may even need some rehab assignments before we see Danny Jansen back on this team. My guess for Danny is a lot closer to mid-May, third week of May. You know, he's probably a couple weeks away still. Unfortunately, Ryan Barucki, man, this kid just bad luck central. He can't seem to stay healthy. He's back on the IL. He's got some blister problems with his finger, 10-day IL. Hopefully that just clears up. It's been done retroactively, so he is available, I think, 7 days from today. We'll see how that goes. I know that Ryu, they were talking about Hinjin Ryu as he is getting closer. He's starting. He threw a 50-pitch bullpen recently and will probably be ready to go to AAA and do some rehab assignments in the next week or so. So, you know, guys are getting healthier. Things are starting to swing back the Blue Jays' way when it comes to those bad tacos.
Man, we are into the thick of the ball season at this point, man. Like, I'm looking at these next six games that we got coming up. This is going to be a fun week of baseball.
Yes.
Like, three against Houston, in Toronto. I mean, we got Kikuchi, who is showing improvement, right? Reason to be optimistic there. Then we got Berríos and Gausman. Those are going to be such good games to watch. And then we go to the Yankees. Or we have the Yankees coming to town, sorry. Yes. And that is going to be one hell of a series. There's no other way to put it. Because we are the two top teams in the AL East. We're a half game back of them right now, both with 13 wins. We're going to be coming in off of a Houston Astros series, whereas the Yankees are going to be coming in off of a Kansas City Royals series. And for those uninitiated with the Kansas City Royals, they're 7-10. They're a bad team. Yankees are probably going to be resting their big guys. You know, Aaron Judge, Stanton, Rizzo, they're all going to get time off so that all of them are available for this Toronto series, because I do think that this series against the Yankees is going to set the tone in the AL East, at least for the short term this summer.
I mean, we'll see, but I agree. I think that at the end of this Yankee series, either the Jays or the Yankees are going to be at the top of the AL East. They're the ones battling it out, and obviously don't want to overlook Houston here.
Nope.
But I'm excited about this Yankees series.
Ooh,
man.
Yankees series, guess what? We've got Alek Manoah pitching against the Yankees. That is appointment viewing, folks. Alek Manoah, who's already having a great season, brings it when he plays the Yankees. So excited to see him pitch against the Yankees. No Gerrit Cole in the schedule. We are going to miss him.
Perfect.
So
we're going to miss old Cole. Good.
I don't know. I never know. Like, I mean, with the absence of sticky stuff, he hasn't been the same. So, like, should we be scared of
him?
He
hasn't.
I don't know. But he looked good in his last start. He had brown stuff on his butt. Is he sticky again? I don't know. Maybe we should be scared of him. I think he needs to be respected in terms of baseball skill. Let's put it that way. So while we're not going to get Gerrit Cole in the Yankees series, we are going to get, this might be my favorite player on the Yankees, and that's including Josh Donaldson, but we are going to go against Nestor Cortez
of
the Yankees. And for anybody who is an Adam Simber fan because of the interesting delivery, I would just like to say, keep an eye on Nestor Cortez and his delivery when we play the Yankees this week, because is that ever entertaining to watch or what? Like,
it's
hard to not like Nestor Cortez. He's got about 40 different deliveries that he mixes in all through the game. He's rocking back and forth. He quick pitches. He does double clutching. He changes his arm slot all the time. Like, it's just,
he's so deceptive. Like, it's so interesting to watch because it's all deception. It's all smoke and mirrors. He's got, you know, like, he's topping out at 91 miles an hour or something like that. Like, he's not a power pitcher, but he is moving up this Yankees hierarchy of pitching for sure. Like, you know, for a guy who they were like, well, maybe he's the long guy. Maybe he gets some starts in the five hole.
He's
like
the Ross Stripling.
Yeah. He's the Ross Stripling. Did you have anything else to add Blue Jays-wise before we kind of get into the lack of offense that's been taking place in the majors?
Blue Jays-wise, no. I think we covered most of it. Good review of the last series. Good preview of the two we got coming up this week. I'm expecting 4 wins at a minimum between Houston and New York.
I like that, and I will go with that as well. I mean, we need it. This is the thing, right? This team has constantly this season concentrated on not losing a series, and it's been good to see they are finding ways to win. Offense hasn't been there, but this is not a Blue Jays problem. This is a baseball problem. And I know Joel, our good buddy, Hey Commie, right? Famous on TikTok for exposing the sticky stuff like he did last year. But he was talking, he sent us a video he did yesterday afternoon about the lack of offense in baseball. And if you have a chance to check it out, that's actually up in our shorts on YouTube currently. Or, of course, you can follow Hey Commie on TikTok. What are you laughing about here?
Just, I know shorts is like 60-second clip on YouTube. That's their term for it. When I hear shorts, I don't know. It just makes me think of Bart Simpson. Especially when you're like up in our shorts.
Yeah.
I just picture Bart Simpson saying, eat my shorts.
Eat our shorts, yes.
Anyways, yes. Up in our shorts, our short videos, not in our short leggings. Continue, Scott. I'm an idiot.
No, but it was a really interesting video, man, because he really got into how many different aspects of the game are affecting the offense. And he brought up pitch calm as a big one. Right, because it's speeding the game up, so pitchers need to be ready. It's also, and we just watched that Yankee letter that everyone was so excited to see what was in it, and I know Jeff Passan kind of said, oh, it's a big nothing burger, but what it said was that the Yankees and the Red Sox were constantly stealing signs, and they were being punished for it for 2018. Listen, sign stealing is a part of the game if you're not using electronics or cameras to get it. However, it happens a lot. So now that the game is speeding up and you're not seeing the signs, guys aren't being tipped off anymore on what's coming. And on top of that, I know that the umpiring has been probably the worst we've seen maybe ever. Robo-umps are a thing that's coming, and I don't know if it's a conspiracy or if the umpires have just stopped caring, knowing that their jobs are, you know, on the way out, but it has been awful, so that hasn't contributed to offense in any way. And as if that's not enough, he just did a video here. Hey, Commie did a video about Gerrit Cole and all the stuff on his pants, and it's like, is the sticky stuff gone? Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. If you look at the home runs, I mean, they talk about the dead ball that's going on too. So, you know, they had a much livelier ball in play last year, and now it's a much deader ball, and that's affecting home runs. Home runs are down by over a full home run a game. That's wild, man. That's a big step down.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Can we talk about this stat that was shared? What was this? A projected home runs adjusted for bullshit.
Yeah.
What was the stat here? Do you have it quickly, or do I got to scan? Okay. I've got it here. So this is the stat that was being shared about as this cardinal evidence against whatever's happening in baseball and the home runs. Okay. So home run rates by year, with a little tiny asterisk that we'll get to in a second. So 2018, 4.5%. 2019, 5.5%. 2020, 5.2%. 2021, 5%. This year, 4.3%. So the lowest it's been in 5 years. And the little asterisk says that these are the home run rates, right? So how many, I guess, at-bats result in a home run?
Yeah.
The asterisk explains that these are, quote unquote, adjusted for weather, ballpark, player quality, and universal DH, right? So the new universal DH means there's more good hitters as opposed to pitchers, so that number should go up.
These are the kind of stats you live for, buddy.
I hate them so much. Because, like, what is the coefficient of friction on adjusted for weather? Like, home run rate is down, but it was, well, we had this many cloudy days versus sunny days, and we all know that the ball travels better on a sunny day versus a rainy day. Like, sure, but, like, how is anybody determining the little minuscule accuracy of what decimal point to multiply by in order to figure that out properly? Because when we're talking about, like, 4.3% home run rate, it's like, okay, but if you undervalue the difference of a cloudy weather day versus a rainy day, like, and what is that based on? That's such bullshit, Scott. It's the only statistic I've found that's worse than WAR. Why don't we include weather adjustment in WAR is what I want to know. Right? Mike Trout might be the best player in the league on sunny days, but that's because he plays in a sunshine state. So put him in a muggy state and let's see how he performs. Let's get that WAR adjusted for weather-based performance, and then we'll talk. Mm. I'm done, so continue.
I've pretty much covered everything we need to cover on this lack of offense thing. I get your frustration with the stat, although it is pretty obvious that offense is down.
Yes, I know, and that is not the point. I'm just nitpicking stupid stats, yes.
But no, absolutely. Okay. I want to get to Samad Taylor before we wrap this thing up. And of course, we'll end on some stats from Miguel Cabrera. Samad Taylor made the jump from AA to AAA at the beginning of the season this year. Now, Samad Taylor kind of came out of nowhere last year, showed a bunch of power that no one had really had him written down as a power guy. He's always been a fast dude, and we watched him climb the prospect rankings. Like, he was a fairly low-touted prospect. They got him out of Cleveland in 2017 when they moved Joe Smith. Not a lot of expectations were on this kid, and I think that this is a good example of how well Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro knows the Cleveland system, or at least did know them. This was a year after they had made the transition over to Toronto. they get this Samad Taylor, who is 19 years old at the time, you know, like he's 24 now, but he is panning out so well for this Toronto Blue Jays organization. Let's talk his stats right now. So every Blue Jays fan is excited, obviously, about Aroldis Martinez. We're excited about Gabriel Moreno. These are the top prospects in the Blue Jays system. However, if you look at the most likely dude to be brought up, if there's a bad taco situation that happens, especially if it's the infield or utility type of role that they need, Samad Taylor makes a lot of sense. He plays second base. He plays third base. He's got experience at shortstop. He's getting some playing time in the outfield these days. He's kind of the roving dude on the Bisons. But let's talk his offense. You've got his stats up.
I do. So batting average, probably his least impressive stat, and it's still not bad. It's .267. But he has an on-base percentage of .429, so very good there. Slugging percentage of .467. So that leads to an OPS of .895. Which, again, it's not major league, but like those are elite numbers at AAA.
They really are. And as if that's not enough, talk about his RBIs here, because that's what stood off the page to me.
So through just 20 games, he's got 3 home runs, 13 RBIs. And to go with that kind of offensive production, he's also swiped 11 bags this year.
He's an aggressive guy on the base path, which, let's face it, fits right in with this new strategy the Blue Jays have kind of put into place of being ultra-aggressive on the base path. Like 11 stolen bases and 13 RBIs, those aren't stats that normally go together, right? Yeah, especially when you have a guy like Samad, who's a base-stealing threat. His speed is one of his major tools. To have a guy who's also driving in runs with that kind of speed.
Well, and for him to have 13 RBIs and a batting average of just .267, to me, reading between the lines there, that means that's timely hitting.
Clutch, baby. And as if that's not enough, every time that Samad Taylor has been promoted within this organization, he has not skipped a beat. And if you don't think that Shapiro and Atkins are noticing that, you're not paying attention. Obviously, there are highly touted prospects out there, but it's not every time. You know, like, there's lots of Kevin Pillars that happen, and Samad Taylor is making a lot of noise right now in the minor league system, and knock on wood, I don't want this to be how it happens, but if there is an injury, a bad taco situation happens, Samad Taylor makes a lot of sense, probably a lot more sense, especially if it happens in May, than bringing up, let's say, a Gabriel Moreno, or especially an Aroldis Martinez, who is probably 2023 before we even...
Yeah, really with Martinez still in AA, I can't see him making the jump from AA to the MLB. Although, we did see it with Kirk. I think went from single A to the MLB 2 years ago. So, not impossible. But yeah, I think they're more likely to mess around with the development of a lower-ranked prospect if it is a call-up situation. And
Moreno's looked good, but he's yet to hit a home run in AAA, right? Like, he has had some doubles, and he looks good behind the plate. But there's still some growth to happen for Moreno, and as much as all of us are excited for him, and there's a lot of talk he might get called up in May, there's a lot of opportunity, or I should say, there's a lot of reasons to not rush him, too. There's a lot of reasons to give him another month or two to get to the point. You know, like, Moreno's average is down to like .270. I know last time we talked about him a few weeks ago, he was
.262, like, so he's definitely cooled off since the hot start.
Okay, let's end. I know we're running this up in time here, so we'll end this off with talking Miguel Cabrera, who obviously had his 3,000th hit just recently. But I saw some stats on Miggy that I had to share with everyone because it's so damn impressive. So 3,000 hits and 500 homers, okay? There's only 6 men in history that are a member of this club, and 2 of them have asterisks next to them with PEDs. Of course, Alex Rodriguez and Rafael Palmeiro. And then the others are Willie Hayes, or Willie Hayes. We're talking Major League here. Willie Mays, Albert Pujols, Eddie Murray, and Hank Aaron. So pretty impressive stuff there.
Willie Mays, Hayes, and Eddie Murphy.
Willie Mays. Willie Mays, Hayes. Yeah, so then you go 3,000 hits, 500 homers, and a 300 average. It's Hank Aaron and Mays. Wow. That's it.
It's absurd.
So Miggy joining a pretty impressive class of players there. 3,000 hits, 500 homers, and two MVP awards. Miggy joins Mays and Pujols. A-Rod in that list as well. And then finally, 3,000 hits, 500 homers, and a triple crown. No one else has done it. Only Miguel Cabrera. What a career. Obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer. The guy continues to hit. He continues to put up numbers for the Tigers. And he's 40. So, impressive stuff.
Do you want to speculate for a minute on Vladdy? Because this is just the easy question, right? It's like, who in Major League Baseball today has a chance to be the next guy to hit 3,000 hits, right? Probably nobody is the answer.
Probably nobody is the answer, yeah.
Do you think there's any chance Vladdy could do it? What
it was interesting, and I don't know who put it out there. There was a projected percentile to all of the guys who had the best chance, and I think Mike Trout was at something like 18%, and he was the highest percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And then right under it was Vladdy at like 12% or something like that. Yeah, like there's not a lot of opportunity for guys to do that anymore. It's such an elite number because you need to be healthy in your 30s to pull it off, and it's just not something that happens all that often in baseball. So, I mean, if anyone's going to do it, it's Trout or Vladdy is kind of the speculation.
Yeah, it's that longevity combined with production, and mm-hmm. then on top of that, the way the game is played now, right, with it being such a home run emphasized league, can be pretty tough. You know, I don't think you're going to see many guys having 250 hit seasons anytime soon. And I mean, and that's adjusting for weather, let's be honest, right? Like, that's taking weather into account. Sorry, have I beat into the ground?
We'll end on this. We'll end on this, my dude. Okay. Right. Just to put it in perspective. Bo Bichette led the American League in hits last year with 192. Led the league in hits with 192. How many 192 hits seasons does he have to hit 3,000?
15 and a half.
Bo Bichette is 24 years old, so he needs to lead the league in hits with 192 another 15 times.
Until he's 40. If he keeps doing this until he's 40, he has a shot.
Insane. Like Miguel Cabrera, one of a kind, man. Insane. Let's leave it on that. Thank you so much, everybody, who has subscribed, liked, commented. We, of course, always appreciate it. To all our audio listeners who have subscribed, we appreciate you as well, obviously. You can join us on Sunday for Long Toss. That's going to be 6 Eastern till 8 Eastern time. We're going to be joined by Baseball Jen is coming back on the show. Of course, Hey Commie, our Iron Man. We've got Whatever. We always have a great panel. I'm not going to try and find it.
I want to interrupt you here, Scott. Like this video. Comment on this video if you want to support us and you don't have $4 to spend. Just do us that. It takes 2 seconds to like this video. We could see from the analytics, 500 people are going to click on it, and then about 170 of you are going to watch it the whole way through. So if you're hearing me talk right now, and there's 170 of you that are, if you got 49 minutes into this podcast, you didn't do it because you hated it. So if you give us a like, I'd appreciate that.
Good job, buddy.
Thanks.
You're really turning into a real...
I'm such a YouTuber.
YouTuber.
Yeah, look at me go. All right.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll have a long toss for you on Sunday. Take care. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Chose to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.